Yesterday, the wife and I had the joy of sharing in the wedding ceremony of our daughter's youngest son, our grandson. He married a preacher's daughter. Both of them are committed believers, and we're rejoicing in what we're anticipating God doing in their life together. It was an outdoor ceremony. There is a public park, like here in our church, there's a public park behind their church, only it was a distance, and so I had to push Helen in a wheelchair to get her back there, and I really do believe she gained 6 pounds going uphill. Oh, me. We are rejoicing in the fact that her father is a mission pastor for their church. It was a situation where he had started a small congregation trying to do contemporary type services and that type of thing in their building. But then they discovered a small Baptist church in Miamisburg that was about to close. And so they merged those two congregations together and are using the building that the older church still had. And so they've now got a growing congregation, still a mission of First Baptist Church Miamisburg. And our daughter is on the staff there as preschool director for all of their activities. And he grew up playing music with this girl in a church music group. And we're just praising God for their commitment to the Lord and the dedication of their new home and the way they did it in Christ. Now, we're going to be praying for them. I trust you will too, as they grow in Jesus and their marriage too. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading verses 7 through 11, and that's the focus of the message today, but we're also going to go back and pick up before the preaching the first two verses of chapter 8. But right now, let's begin our reading at verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Holy Father, help us to understand from Scripture the life we have in the Spirit. Because, Lord, so many times we love you, but we want to serve you in our strength. Help us to understand, Holy Father, we need your Spirit to be able to be anything in Christ Jesus. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. And amen. Focus, if you will, for just a moment on the first two verses. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Many times when we refer to chapter 8 and verse 1, we fail to read the second verse, which is connected even a part of the sentence. I want you to recognize there are a number of places in this chapter, in these verses that we've covered this morning, that gives us an if condition. And so I want us to look at it from that point of view. I mean, we read in chapter 7, and there's a heated debate among many theologians as to whether we're talking about the possibility of a Christian living carnally or if we're talking about an unsaved person. And many will try to say, when the Apostle Paul is saying, I know I want to do what Christ wants me to do, but I can't figure out how to do it, or I try to do the right thing and end up doing the wrong thing. You remember that discussion where Paul is dealing, I really believe, within himself. However, here in chapter 8, Paul is trying to help us understand that you can go through the motions of being a Christian and still not be right with Christ. A lot of people believe because they've gone through certain circumstances or ceremonies or they have prayed a certain prayer or something like that, that they're a Christian. When the Bible is helping us to understand, especially in this context, if the Spirit of the Lord is not leading your life, if you're not living in the Spirit, he says, you're not really a child of God. I mean, you can look like a Christian in all outward appearances, okay, without really being right with Christ. I mean, you can have religion that is ideally in its performance looking like truly a Christian, when in reality your heart's not right with God. And what Paul is doing in these if phrases is forcing us to realize that we must do two primary things. We must live in the Spirit, and we must set our mind on the things of God. Those are two very important issues. Now, I need to say it in reverse as well. There are some times when true Christians don't look like they're saved. There's times when true Christians don't really sound like they're saved. And there's times when true Christians are tempted to forget, or at least try to forget, that they are a child of God. I want us to recognize that in the Spirit of God, now, by the way, I don't want you to get confused with the language, because he's called the Spirit, he's called the Spirit of God, and he's called the Spirit of Christ, all in this same passage. However, all of them are still referring to the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. He's talking about all of the Trinity as he's talking about the Spirit. So no matter how you're approaching it, if you're talking about holy God in spiritual form indwelling us, if you're talking about the person of the Holy Spirit as his character is revealed in Scripture, or if you're talking about remembering the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still talking about the same Spirit, the same God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I want you to think then, that Paul is trying to tell us that God wants to work in our life. So he begins with this wonderful promise. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. What was the condemnation that we feared? Well, all of that time when the Holy Spirit was bringing conviction upon us to make us realize that we needed to become a Christian, and recognizing in that our sin and guiltiness, and realizing that if we receive what we deserve, we'd all be going to hell, because we've all sinned according to the Bible, and we've come short of the glory of God. We haven't lived up to our potential in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at those things, we have temptation sometimes to feel like we shouldn't be a Christian, or to condemn ourselves because we still have things come to mind about yesterday's performance. You know what I'm saying? And you've all been there one time or another. Even though you know you're a Christian, still there's days when those doubts will come to mind and you wonder, was I really saved? Am I still going to heaven? Or am I going to be condemned in that day? Will I be among those that Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I mean, I remember my own personal testimony, how that when God began to deal with my heart, I did not fear hell. I did not fear death. What I feared was standing before God and Him saying to me, pitch him out. He doesn't belong to me. Now, I don't know why that wording, just what I remember when God's Holy Spirit began to work on me. I wanted to know Jesus as a 9-year-old boy. I wanted to know that I know Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? I just knew that if I continued like I was, even though I was raised in church, Mother says ever since I was 2 weeks old, I didn't remember that part, but I was raised in church because my parents were active Christians, committed Christians, and really believed whatever was going on in church, we were supposed to be there. And I was literally raised in church. But I assumed, you follow, that because I was involved in everything going on at church, even junior choir, even GAs, we didn't have an RA, and so I ended up being a part of the GAs for a couple of years. I remember I felt like I was a Christian because I was a part of everything going on in church until God's Holy Spirit made me grasp that one idea that if I wasn't right with God, when I stood before Him, He was going to say He didn't know me. And I'd be thrown out. It didn't gel in my mind at the time that being thrown out meant I was going to hell. That wasn't the issue. Just being rejected by Jesus was the horror in my heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want you to understand when I come to believe that I was not going to face condemnation, what a relief and joy that was for me. I mean, now knowing, even though I preach on hell and know the horrors of hell, I do not deny that. But I want you to understand, facing no condemnation, knowing that there's not going to be a day when Jesus is going to say, I don't know you, pitch him out. I want you to know that was a joy in my heart. I've discovered lately, I'm talking about just within recent weeks, a new kind of relationship with Him, just because at my age, I still have that affirmation that when I face Him, He's going to welcome me. He's not going to say, I don't know you. Now look again at these first two verses, if you will. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who, one, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and two, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice here, though it does not use the if in this place, he's giving us that same kind of concept. First of all, we know we're not going to be condemned because we are not only in Christ, but we're walking according to the Spirit. You follow me? That's why he's going to go on and say in just a little bit, if you're not walking in the Spirit, you don't belong to Him. Because our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ Jesus right now, is within our Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is within us, making it possible for us to follow the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and to truly know and worship God. I mean, it's in the Spirit, in our heart and life, guiding us in our actions. But I want you to notice a second question He's telling us in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He goes on and calls this a carnal mind, but I want you to look at it from the point of view that he's saying here, whether or not you follow the flesh or you follow the Spirit, whether you're a Christian or not, it depends on what you set your mind on. You follow me? If you set your mind on understanding and participating in the things of the world, the things of the world are going to have more and more influence upon your life until you don't look like a Christian anymore or act like a Christian anymore. You've given Satan the opportunity to affect your mind. Your value system begins to waver. Your understanding of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ begins to be less and less important to you, because setting your mind on the earthly things, on the fleshly things, is causing you to have that as your focus of life instead of your relationship with the Lord Jesus. However, the answer to that question is that we win victory in Jesus Christ by setting our mind on the things of God. Now, do you understand why the pressures of life can have such a strong influence on your life? Why, even at work, the stresses of the work environment and the people that are around and the things they're saying, the attitudes they're displaying, can cause you to question sometimes your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the answer is still, even in that context, set your mind on the things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. I learned years ago when I was a summer missionary while I was in college in northern Illinois. And I was helped surveying the missionary there was trying to start new churches. And so I spent the entire summer staying in their home at night, but he would take me out every day and drop me in a new community. And my partner and I would survey an entire community trying to find out people who would be a part of a new church. And we got to where we could, both of us, we could knock on over 200 homes a day. And our spiel had come so automatic we could say it without thinking, you know. It was a performance we were doing in the name of Jesus, so much so that I began to question my own relationship with the Lord, because I was going through the motions. I'd memorized my speech. I was knocking on a door, and quickly as the door opened, I shared my speech and then moved on to the next door. I was just collecting the names of those who may be interested. The rest I just dismissed and moved on. And so it just became motion for me, activity, but my heart wasn't really in it. You follow what I'm saying? And one night I couldn't sleep. I was beginning to hurt for my lack of relationship with Jesus. I was just going through the motions. I was doing the right thing. I was doing the thing that I had been sent there to do. I was doing the thing that I believed the Lord wanted me to do, but I had got caught up in it to the point that now it was just automatic. I was just going through the motions, and I'd lost my touch with Jesus. Partly, I was beginning to get hardened and defensive because of some of the responses of people. Like one man that told me to go back down south. We live in the 20th century up here, he said. I don't know what century he thought we lived in, but still. I mean, just people with just dismissal attitudes. You follow me? I'm praising God that as we knocked on doors all around our church, we thought we had a bad reputation. But no, this community knows us differently and respects us differently, and we didn't get a disrespectful answer from Omersons
as we surveyed around. And Brother Sam and I knocked on, I don't know, 200 and some homes. And I mean, just two blocks out in all directions around our community, I mean, our church here. I'm grateful for the kinds of responses we got. I really am. Because I enjoyed what we were doing. However, there in Illinois, I just couldn't take it one more night. I just up all night crying out to God to renew my relationship with Him. I wanted back the joy. Are you feeling what I'm saying? And somehow, I don't know, I awoke the missionary's wife, and she came into the kitchen where I was. We talked for a while, and she finally told me, she says, "Garland, you need to memorize some scripture. And when you get into those places, even walking from house to house, quote those scriptures to yourself." And then she says, "If you don't know many scriptures, sing a song to yourself." I didn't at that time know many scriptures by heart, so I started singing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," and it affects me today negatively, because I was singing it for the wrong reasons at the time, not in worship or praise, but just to conquer my own spirit so I could sense again God personal and alive in my life. "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" has become special from another point of view now, because now I can't sing it without really paying attention to the words. Are you listening to me? And that song began to be the way that I would set my mind on the ways of God and the teachings of God. You follow me? After that experience, I have learned to memorize Scripture. Now there's entire chapters that I can quote because I've remembered them and memorized them on purpose. And it really works when Satan's trying to defeat you, when your spirit is down, when the presence of evil is so strong. You just quote a scripture. I mean, just keep quoting them. He'll run. And first thing you know, you'll run out of something to say, and you'll look around and Satan's gone. Because he says if we stand strong, if we resist the devil, he'll flee from us. You remember? Well, he don't like the Word of God. And so that I prefer now. Quote scripture when you're facing those times of being depressed. And sometimes when you get into depression, making yourself do the right thing or pushing yourself to have the right attitude is difficult to do in your own strength. But when you're singing praises to God, or when you are quoting God's Word, something begins to happen in your own mind and heart, and the joy begins to return. I know the scripture says He inhabits our praise, and I believe that. So when you're praising the Lord, what happens is you begin to feel a closeness that you don't get in any other circumstance. But then when you are quoting scripture, you're quoting the very words of God. You follow what I'm saying? And so He draws near to you in His Word, and it begins to live in your mind and heart again. So if you want to know how to set your mind on the things of God, it means to preoccupy yourself with what you know about God. If you're focused on things of the world, whether they're things you've got to deal with day by day, or whether you've allowed yourself to face temptation and or depression, and for the most of us, it may well be the stresses of life, and the depressed spirit we get in sometimes, because Satan's going to depress us any way he can. He don't want us being alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't want us to show that we have victory in Christ Jesus. He wants people to question our faith. He wants people to doubt that we're saved. You follow what I'm saying? So he wants us to be down and questioning. So he's telling us, set your mind on the things of God. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. I mean, just stop sometime and give yourself a moment, no more than that. Give yourself time to remember. I remember the Apostle Peter, in one of his books, writes, I forgot what he wrote. I can't give you the reference, but what he's talking about, call to remembrance, are the words. You remember, the Apostle Peter is telling us to dare to remember. We used to sing a song in grade school, and when I was a beginning youth, Count Your Blessings. You remember that old song? We don't hear it much anymore. For that matter, it's not even in our hymnal, I don't believe. However, it was a powerful message if we would take it seriously. So sit down and make yourself a list of what God has done to bless you. I mean, even if you did it within the last month or two, just make a list of what God's been doing in your life and around your life. Or think of the times when God has answered prayer in some mighty way in your life. I mean, just remember what God has done and then begin to give him praise. I don't care what kind of attitude you had before. I don't care what kind of depressed state you're in. When you begin to praise God for what he's been doing in your life, it changes you as a person. So set your mind, he says, on the things of God and not on the things of the world. The book of Proverbs, it's quoted also in the book of Psalms, where he says that we should protect our mind. The words he uses, guard your mind. There are some things that Christians ought not be thinking about. You want me to say that again? There are some things that Christians ought not be thinking about. But we need to remember, this old body has not yet been redeemed. We as the person have been, but this old body still has temptations, weaknesses. This old body still craves the fleshly things. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to focus on the flesh. I'm not here trying to say we're focusing on fleshly things in an evil sense. I mean, here recently, every morning, my wife would get up and it seems like it takes us 30 minutes or more of moving around slowly and carefully until we can get everything going. You know what I'm saying? In those times, it's hard not to think of the flesh. Or, I've got these bruise spots on my hand and on my arm. I get them quite often now. I was out there working on the mower. I was able eventually to get it working right, and I praise God for that. But when I looked at my arm and backs of my hands and some of the things that had happened, because I don't have feelings in the back of my hands anymore, I don't realize that I'm cut or bleeding until the blood shows up. And I yesterday was out there feeling, I thought, the drops of rain. And I looked down and it was my own blood dripping down on my fingers. I there's times when it's hard not to think about the flesh. But even then, we need to be praising God and deliberately instead setting our mind on the things of God, on the things of the Spirit. Am I making sense to you? The real victory is what we do with our mind. No, I'm not saying that we fix the problems ourselves in our own wisdom. That's not what he's saying. I'm not saying that we can figure out the answer ourselves. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you set your mind on the things of God, you begin to realize I need him desperately. And he's the only one that can give me victory in this circumstance. Set your mind on the things of God. The reason I have said that you need to make your list and remember and give him praise is because when you begin to recognize what God's been doing in your life, you begin to have relief from the present circumstances because you know God can handle this one too. All right? So I want you to recognize there's no condemnation if we are walking in the Spirit. Now, what happens when a Christian is, for the moment, walking in the flesh? There is condemnation. No. I'm not talking about final condemnation. I'm not talking about being cast into hell. But what does the Bible say? He chastises those he loves. Jesus even makes an illustration out of that and says, what father will give a snake when his children ask for bread? You follow me? That analogy from Jesus is trying to say even in our humanity we realize that we need to be loving our children and giving them what is good. When we get to that place that we begin to realize we've got our mind on the flesh, we need immediately, deliberately, to set our mind on the things of God again. Now look at the context, if you will, of where our passage was this morning. Because the carnality of the mind or the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, right here, his application is talking about those who are not Christians and have set their mind on the flesh. But it's applicable also to the Christian who gets caught up in the moment and focuses on the flesh rather than on their relationship with Holy God. Notice, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed, that's the first if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. He continues in verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. I want you to stop and think with me in the closing of this message. If you are walking in the Spirit, if you're setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, you still may get to the place where you recognize the dying of the flesh. But if you're walking in the Spirit, there's going to be joy in Christ Jesus. This last week, I was over to visit with the Wessels a second time, and Ms. Wessel recognized me coming in the room, and she did this to me. Preacher, you've made my day, she said. I hadn't said anything yet. But she's recognizing the dying of the flesh. She's having to deal with that because about every other day she has horrible pains and every day she has trouble breathing because her lungs are getting stiff and they don't function like they once did. She's on oxygen all the time now. But she was processing her relationship with Christ when I come in. And she was rejoicing in the fact that whenever death came, she just went home to be with Jesus. She was rejoicing in that. Even though she was processing the fact that she's experiencing death in the flesh, she's experiencing life in Christ Jesus through the Spirit. Am I making sense to you? I want you to grasp an important thing that we forget when we're walking in the Spirit. He says, even this old body receives new life. Now let me help you to grasp an understanding of another thought that he's playing with here. That is, he talks about the unsaved person being dead in spirit, dead in trespasses and sins, and other kinds of expressions where he talks about them being dead already, the unsaved person. According to the Scripture, God formed the body, then he breathed into it the breath of life, and we became a living soul. It's not the Greek idea where they really believe that you have a soul, you have a body, you have a spirit. That's not what the Bible says. You have a body and you have a spirit, and you are a soul. Or if we use another word that makes sense today, we are a person. All right? Or the literal word, we are a self. Okay? I want you to recognize the person who is not a Christian is only human. He's only body. His spirit is dead. Are you with me? But when you become a believer, your spirit becomes alive within you. So even though the body may be dying, you live in the spirit. Does that make sense to you? There's a song we sing. I struggle with it for this very reason. Have you heard the so-called Christian song, Lord, if you're looking down below, I'm only human? You remember that? I'm only human. If you're a child of God, you're never only human. You follow me? The Spirit of the living God lives within you. You're not only human anymore. I mean, within you, even being renewed by Him, within you is the Holy Spirit, but even with Him, as you walk in the Spirit, He renews this old body. How many of you have been guilty of saying, I really didn't feel like coming to church today, but after the service is over, you went out praising God you did? What happened to that old body's attitude when you came in? I mean, why wasn't that you didn't want to go to church? Well, the flesh is a big part of it, I'm sure. But what happens after the Holy Spirit has begun to deal with your heart and renew your joy? Even the old body begins to feel better. Am I right? Even the old body receives. Look again in verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. My wife asked me yesterday as we was coming home how I felt, because both of us had been struggling to get the body doing what we wanted it to do. But as we were going home and kind of praising God for what we'd seen in our grandchildren, getting to meet her family this pastor who is her father. I don't know. I come home still tired, still weary, but really feeling good. You know what I'm talking about? Because when your mind is set on the things of God, He even renews this old body. Amen? Praise God for an ongoing spiritual relationship, because we are indwelled by the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Rejoice with me. No, as I suggested a couple of Sundays ago, this is a good time to say hallelujah. Amen? For we are indwelled by the Spirit of God. And when our mind is set upon Him, even the old body is renewed. Amen. Amen. Brother Don, lead us in a hymn. Maybe this is a Sunday when you're down for some reason and you're needing the Spirit of God to pick you up, make you feel good again, feel the joy that you once had in Christ. Maybe this is a time you need to come and put your mind on the things of God. I mean, whatever He brings to mind, rejoice in your relationship with Him. And allow Him to renew the joy of your salvation again. He'll even pick up this old body if we do. Maybe the reason you're feeling down is because there's some unconfessed sin, or there's some suppressed experience or relationship that you've not dealt with before the Lord, or maybe something you need forgiveness from yet. Then you need to come to the altar and ask God not only to forgive you, but like David prayed, renew the joy of my salvation. I know how that can feel. I've been there. Are you understanding me? But maybe you need just to come and say, oh God, forgive me and give me back the joy of thyself. Set your mind on the things of God. Maybe the problem you've been addressing, maybe the problem you're feeling right now is because you've allowed yourself to put your mind on the flesh. Hear me? I have to praise my wife at this point. Each time when she's been in the hospital with her heart, it was okay. She was trusting Jesus. I heard her say when some of you were questioning her afterwards, she'd say, I'll see you here or up there. I have to praise God for the faith she's expressed in that. But we can all be there. We can all be there. Set your mind not on the things of the flesh, but on the things of God. You free then the Holy Spirit to do what God's want to do in your life and your health. Amen? What do we sing, Brother Don? 277.